Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The Chinese economy, the consumer economy, the business-to-business economy. We welcome Andrew Collier, Managing Director of Orient Capital Research in Hong Kong, providing some statistics that strike me as significant. The questions raised about the non-transparent People's Republic of China economy, the mainland. Since crushing Hong Kong, we've been cut off from trustworthy statistics. Andrew, a very good day to you. In general, the concern is that China's economy is not recovering quickly, if at all, from the zero COVID policies of these last years. I have one statistic here that strikes me as significant in that the consumer is cautious about what he or she sees around. That might be unemployment. It might be anxiety about the future. Shoe sales in January, February fell 10%. In China, apparel down 18%. Is the Chinese consumer putting the money back in the pocket? Is that what's happening? Good day to you, Andrew.
Well, John, the problem is that everybody was hoping that the Chinese economy would come roaring back and help the rest of the world with the economic growth. The economy in China has recovered somewhat because people have stopped hiding in their homes away from COVID. We've seen consumer sentiment in general rising. But a lot of that money is being spent on things like going out for meals and for travel. The consumer is still very reluctant to put money down for expensive goods like autos and washing machines and, as you pointed out, shoes, because there's a lot of nervousness about the future of the potential of the economy to grow. And unemployment after this long COVID lockdown period was very harsh. So the nervousness is keeping people, their wallets still in their pockets.
Gordon, you have a question for Andrew.
Andrew, in your research note, which was fantastic, you point out a sort of dichotomy between spending in a luxury sector and other spending. If you could expand on that, because I think that that does illustrate something that's going on in China.
Well, it's always been a theory of mine that the rich are going to protect their wealth and the poor are going to be more vulnerable, which is true for many countries, not just China, of course. And we're starting to see that in the data where you get some of these high expensive apparel goods, like some of the imported Italian goods, are actually selling quite well. But the lower end of the market, where much of the real money is not going as well. And I think you're also seeing that with the property prices. A property is a huge chunk of the Chinese economy. And 60% of the property market is actually in the poorer cities in China. And they're starting to really suck wind. Their prices are down. People aren't buying places. But in the top cities of Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Beijing, property prices are still maintaining their level. So there seems to be an increasing split between the rich and the poor.
The PMI index, I watched that because that's a way of talking about manufacturing. We've had anecdotes for some time, Andrew, that manufacturing is not at full tilt. In fact, that factories in the Pearl River Basin, managers have been known to make phone calls saying, have you got any work for us? We've got some time in our procedures. Now, those are just anecdotes. Does that connect to what you're reporting here, the PMI index under 50, the manufacturing is not coming back?
That's correct. A PMI is basically a survey of attitudes towards future investment. And so it's not necessarily economic activity itself. But we've seen that with the steel market, for example, where steel was doing okay in the last few months, but then started dropping off. And it turns out that the steel was probably being churned out by the mills just using bank loans without much actual demand, because a lot of the steel goes into the property market and the property market is doing terribly. So the industrial data we've seen is starting to show it be quite weak because there's not that much demand, and exports have been hurt because of the war in Ukraine and other factors. So the Chinese economy is in a tough spot. It's not dead on its heels yet, but it's certainly suffering.
Unemployment, isn't that a product of what we're just talking about, below 50 attitude, not rosy, and unused manufacturing facilities? Doesn't that mean that we have a growing number of people without jobs?
Yes, and that's one of the scariest parts for China. I mean, one reason why they have such a huge debt load is that they've been throwing bank loans at the economy to make sure that people are employed, because their big concern is that if the Communist Party cannot deliver jobs, then they may be at risk going forward. So that is one of the bedrocks of the political system. And with a slowing economy and the property market, which is, you know, 30 or 40% of lots of industrial activity now suffering, the job market is starting to be hurt. So it's a very scary position for the party. Now, we don't know how that's going to work out. The global economy may start improving in the second half of the year, although it doesn't look so great yet. But for now, trends are pointing downwards.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Andy, just yesterday we learned that the imports in April were down 7.9%, which took a number of people and the analysts by surprise. That's seven straight months of decline of imports. That would seem to point to further weakness. I mean, do you think that exports will be able to make up for that? Or are we seeing a general softness in the economy going forward?
Well, the imports are going to be problematic in China because, as I said, a lot of people are keeping money in their pocket because they're nervous about the future. The exports grew 8.5% in April, which was stronger than expected, $295.4 billion. It's actually somewhat good for the economy because, of course, exports are a big part of what they're doing. Domestically, though, imports have been suffering because of the nervousness about the future for people in China.
Back to the unemployment. I read a story that college graduates were being urged to take manual labor jobs because that's good for them and there's work there and there's not necessarily knowledge work demand. Have you heard similar stories? And what does that mean, Andy?
Yes, that's a problem. You've got a lot of people graduating from colleges. About 10 or 15, 20 years ago, China started putting people in schools because it was a way to keep them off the streets and, you know, keep them still occupied. But unfortunately, they're graduating and they're not finding a lot of jobs. And with the country killed, or at least slowed the growth of what they call the platform economy, which is the Uber of China and, you know, the food delivery, that kind of stuff, which was supplying some urban jobs. They weren't terribly well paid, but they were at least jobs. That has been slowed because of government concerns about the private sector getting too big for its britches. And as a result, there was a plea for people to actually take, you know, sort of like basic jobs. Even if you have a college degree, you're out moving concrete or something like that. So that shows a certain amount of desperation within China.
And the anecdotes are widespread. The report was just in one city. Have you heard it in many cities?
Yes. I've not heard that story about people taking, sort of low wage jobs everywhere. But certainly a lot of the cities in China, as I indicated, are suffering a lot worse than the big cities like Shanghai and Beijing. And the youth unemployment is starting to really skyrocket to, I think I've heard numbers of 20-30% in some of these cities.
30 seconds, Gordon.
So, Andy, Starbucks and others are doing well. What does that tell us?
Well, if you've ever been to a Starbucks in Beijing, I mean, it's very expensive for your average wage. So those are the people who are employed by the international banks, or possibly by state-owned firms with money, and they can afford to pay those kinds of prices. Elsewhere, where there's probably not that many Starbucks in this poorer cities, and they're not selling very much.
Andrew Collier, Managing Director, Orient Capital Research, based in Hong Kong. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batten.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.